Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all
in our stead. That when he came to do what no other power or potentate could do. He came to bring the peace that men needed in their hearts and soul, to bring them into a right relationship with God the Father. He was the only one who could bring together, who could reconcile, who could make two differing parties agree on the same thing. Jesus was that person. And so the cross of Calvary and all that it represents must be the understanding of the believer that because we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have become new creations. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Now notice the word says in Christ, again denoting relationship. This is only for those who have relationship with Christ Jesus. Listen, it's important to understand that the new creation, he is a new creature, a new creation. Well, what does that mean? Well, as you continue in the verse, it says all things are passed away. So now we begin to understand what qualifies as old things. I'm glad you asked. Everything that was there before the new began. It's old things. It's old mindset, old actions, old attitudes, old nature. All of that represents old things. The old way of life, the old way of acting, the old way of doing, the old deeds, the old thoughts, the old ambitions, the old activities, all of that is in the realm of old. Then he says, behold, from the primitive etymological root word, we get binocular from, which means to focus in closely. What do we see? All things become new. Now, what that means literally is in verse 17, we have a metamorphosis in operation. Verse 17 represents a metamorphosis. It's where something changes from one thing and is transformed into another, or where something is immature now becomes mature. It is that place where something that is not fully developed or in its final stage is yet brought to a place of completion and change. And this is what happens when a person comes from the world and enters into Christ. All things become new. It's a metamorphosis in the spirit realm. God starts working things out in the spirit. Now, you can't see them all. That's why you can't judge. Because they may look the same, but underneath the skin, God is working things out. He's changing and transforming underneath the skin. And so the problem with a whole lot of us is that we don't understand that we now have a new nature. Well, why do we act the same way sometimes? Because we still got an old mind. See, what you don't understand is that though your mind has been given a fresh opportunity so that it can be changed, it still has a memory of old things. Even though your body has been given a new lease on life, and so it is a new thing now, yet the mind still remembers old things. So that's why we must not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds. You can be saved and still act unsaved. Listen, in other words, what you miss many times is that just because you've been saved and now that you've gotten a clean slate, one of the reasons why you can't act different is because what's brand new now and clear now has to be activated and brought to a point of development. So all you do know is the old stuff. So you have got to get rid of the old stuff because that's what your mind keeps going to. You've got to learn the new way. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Why is that important? Because you're going to have to learn how to do things a new way. Well, I've always done those things that way. That was the old you. The new you has to change and do it the way Jesus Christ has assigned for us to do it in the Word. So in verse 17, there is a metamorphosis going on. Listen, the actuality of this word that we call being changed and brought into this new state is a word that is important for us to understand, and it is reconciliation. Now, we have, because of Calvary, the act of reconciliation. But the word doesn't just talk about the act of reconciliation on Calvary. It talks about the ongoing process of reconciliation. How many of you know just because you've been changed doesn't mean you're not still changing? Even in the natural, every day, there is a change happening in your flesh. You may not recognize it every day, but one day you look in the mirror and you see some gray you didn't see the other day. You look in the mirror, you see some wrinkles you didn't see the other day. You look in the mirror and you see a whole lot of changing going on. You realize you don't look like you used to look 20 years ago. Now, I know you think you look like you used to look, but there's a change going on in your body. I know you think you were the man you were 20 years ago, the woman you were 20 years ago, but try doing some of those things that you did 20 years, and your strength will tell you, it ain't the same. It's constantly changing, whether you recognize it or not. Now, as we move from this metamorphosis in verse 17, we recognize that we have a ministry in verse 18. And all things are of God. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now we move from a metamorphical experience and a metamorphosis that is still going on to a ministry that God has given to us. Now, this not only speaks to preachers, but this speaks to all of us who are saved, who are reconciled with God, who are in a place of right standing with God. Listen, this is not just talking about preachers, it's talking to messengers. And all of us, while we're not all preachers, we are all messengers. Every day of our lives, we're carrying a message, one message or another. good or bad, right or wrong, saved or sinful, or sanctified or secular, it doesn't matter. We carry messages every day, all day long. We are messengers. The Lord says, now we have a ministry. That ministry is to meet needs. See, listen to this. I want you to see this because it's important. It's talking about those who have been reconciled with God. Simply stated, those who are saved. Can I see the hands of those who are saved? Amen. All right. Tell your neighbor, if you saw them raise their hand, he's talking about you. Now, neighbor, if you saw them raise their hand, tell them, say, and he's talking about you too. Come on, tell them now. Let them know that this ain't one side. This is for everybody who's saved. Now, listen at this now. What's interesting about this is that God himself has set up a ministry. You got a whole lot of folk who answers their call to ministry and don't know what ministry it is. The Lord done called me. Well, what he called you to? I don't know. He might have called you to wake up. Pay attention. God calls you, listen at this, with clarity. God doesn't call you and don't tell you why he's not calling you. He don't just call you and say, John, huh? Nothing, just wanted to call you. Or he calls me into ministry. Okay, Lord, where do you want me to serve? Let me think about that for a minute. I don't know where you fit in at yet. No, when God calls you, listen, I might have an issue with where he places me, but I know where he's called me to serve. I might not want to be where he tells me to start my ministry at, but I do know what he called me to do as a ministry. And so a whole lot of folk have got to come to the reality that if God has called you, listen, if you don't know nothing else, he has called you to a ministry of reconciliation. If you are saved, he has called you to help save others. Why is that so important? Because he needs somebody who's been there and done that to tell others what he's done for me. He can do the same for you. He needs some witnesses. Have you never heard the best advertisement is a satisfied customer? Did you hear what I just said? I said the best advertisement is a satisfied customer, because they're going to tell people close to them. They're going to, matter of fact, if anybody brings up the subject or if there's something going on relating to what they're talking about, they will be the greatest advertisement for that situation, product, or thing, because they've been satisfied with it. And if there's anybody that the Lord has saved, blessed and kept, taken care of, picked up, turned around, dusted off, changed, rearranged, healed them, delivered them, all of these things, that they ought to be able to tell somebody. And so when they are witnesses, then they have a ministry of sharing with others who need this Jesus. Look again now. We've got a metamorphosis in verse 17, a ministry in verse 18, but I got something else I want to help you to see. There is a message in verse 19. Now, what good is a ministry and no message? Because I know a lot of ministries where there is no message. There's a mess, but ain't no message. There's a little whole lot of hype, whole lot of stuff going on, whole lot of folk acting and playing church, but not no real word of God that is moving as according to his spirit and his word, not that convicts folk and convince folk that Christ is truly the way, that converts folk and give folk a reality in knowing that God says what he means and means what he says. I know folk who play church, but there is a difference from those who have a word. And I got news for you. Let me just throw this out parenthetically. That the flesh don't like a real word. Shout me, preacher. Make me feel good, preacher. Don't tell me about my sins, my shortcomings, my mistakes, my mishaps, my mess-ups. Tell me about how God's going to bless me. He's going to give me a new car, open doors, give me a raise, bring money. That's the kind of stuff we want to hear, but that stuff don't do nothing for our souls. That stuff doesn't help us to promote the cause of Christ. That stuff doesn't help get folk saved. It get folk who are looking for handouts and who want to bring God down to their level rather than coming up to his level in the house, because there is no standard set. God wants you to understand there needs to be a word. So the Bible says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Listen, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Listen, and hath committed to us, unto us, the word of reconciliation. We've got a ministry, but what is our message? Get yourself together. Come on the Lord's side. Change the way you walk and you talk. Come out of darkness into light. Let me help you see Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That message is reconciling man with God. Come to the light. Jesus is the light. He's the right way. Your life is never going to change and really be blessed until you come to God's side. Until you surrender to God's side. Until you understand the message is clear. God's way or no way. God is seeking true worshipers. Real worshipers. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Why is that important? Because it's a word, listen, that your soul needs. People who cannot get a word for their soul hunger and thirst, and nothing in this world can fill it. But they don't know that. And so they go out trying this and trying that. Drugs and alcohol, gambling, perversion, people. Everything that they can to feel the emptiness underneath the skin. But only one thing will work. And that's the reconciliation, the getting right with God. My heart aches at seeing so many play church on Sunday and lived empty and defeated lives because they won't hear the word of reconciliation. They go through the motion on Sunday mornings, but don't live with any power during the week. And yet they miss the fact that Jesus died so that they in this life can demonstrate his power. power, his resurrection power, to overcome everything there is that this world throws at you. Jesus said that he has overcome this world, and if you are in him, you shall overcome also. Just because you're saved don't mean that you won't go through stuff. That you won't have temptations, that you won't have tribulations, that you won't have situations, but in all of those and through all of those, God will see you through and you will be the victor. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And not the whining victim. Yeah. When you face situations and circumstances, the joy in your heart, the knowledge in your mind of what God has said in his word, the Spirit of the living God will bring up. Yes. That you'll be reminded of who you are and whose you are and what you have. Amen. Joy, true joy, comes from the Lord. You're not going to find it in a bottle. You're not going to find it in drugs. You're not going to find it in another person. That's why you can't stay with one person, because you're looking for joy in the wrong person. Jesus is the one who brings you joy. Jesus is the one who feels that emptiness underneath the skin. Jesus is the one who shows you your purpose and gives you power to fulfill it. Jesus is the one that you have got to get right with. Nothing else will work out right for you. You'll try everything there is. But until you come to Jesus, and my brother, my sister, I plead with you. You want to make a difference? Accept Jesus. Not on the surface, but I'm talking about underneath the skin. Because here's where you'll notice the difference. When you become reconciled with God, you begin to become reconciled with man. You then begin, listen, to know. Because if you are saved, then the saved know the saved. And if you were unsaved, you knew what it was to be unsaved. So now you try the Spirit by the Spirit of God. And your spirit and the Spirit of God will meet. And if that person meets with the Spirit of God and your spirit meets with the Spirit of God, then you know you are of the kindred spirit. But if you try the Spirit by your spirit or their spirit by your spirit, you wrong, they're wrong. Two wrongs don't make a right, but y'all think y'all got it going on. And so you all will agree together. It's amazing how the enemy will seek out others like him to forward their cause. Somebody that don't like something, they find somebody else that don't like it with them. And then they team up together. That's why you find folk of like spirit hanging out together. Usually where you find one liar, you'll find another. Usually when you find one person who's fearful, you'll find another. They hang out together. Usually where you find, I'm actually going through Revelation 21 and 8, where he talks about 8 different groups of people who won't be up in heaven because they haven't learned how to be overcomers. So that third group is abominable. And abominable, listen, are those whom God truly hates. And Solomon gives a short list of 7 things God hates, but the 7th is an abomination to him. And listen at what it is. It's those who sow discord. among the brothers, those who are mess makers, those who are busybodies, those who put other folk business in the street, those who are always stirring up some mess, those who are always putting their finger in and their 2 cents in where it don't belong, those who can't stand things to be peaceful, those who got to see stuff going on, and if they don't see it, they start creating it. God hates those kind of people. Well, then not only that, he says murderers. Well, listen, he said, Jesus said, if you hate, you are worse than a murderer. It's as if you had murdered if you hate. So if you are a hater, then you are in that group. Listen at this. And then it says whoremongers. Whoremongers. I know we ain't got no whoremongers in the church. I know you might know some outside the church, but I know ain't no whoremongers in the church. He says sorcerers, those who dibble and dabble in a little witchcraft, in notions, potions, and lotions, and all those kind of other notions. He talked about idolaters, those who worship idol gods, those things that they have put up above God, that have made themselves gods, their money, their children, their job, their titles, their possessions, etc. All those things that are gods to them. And then lastly, it said liars. Liars. Lie to be lying. Lying for no reason at all. Lying because you open your mouth and words got to come out. Might as well be a lie. Lie so much so that you don't know sometimes whether your lies are truth or not. Lie till you convince yourself. Lie till you can't remember the last lie you told. Lie! You back up to verse 7, but Jesus said, because I know I got some of you all of that in here right now. I want to give you a little hope before I close this message, because that's what the gospel is, hope. Verse 7 says, listen, that if you overcome, you shall inherit all things. So I'm trying to tell the liar, you can overcome lying. I'm trying to tell the idolater, you can overcome idolatry. I'm trying to tell the sorcerer, you witchcraft, black magic, the voodoo, you can overcome all that mess. I'm trying to tell the whoremonger, you can overcome all of that mess. I'm trying to tell the murderer, you can overcome all of that mess. I'm trying to tell the abominable, you can overcome that mess. I'm trying to tell the unbelieving that you can overcome that mess. And I'm trying to tell the one that's fearful of the enemy overtaking you and bringing you to a place of desolation that you can overcome that by the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It ain't nothing like being an overcomer and saying, this joy I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. If you want to have a blessed rest of your life, be reconciled to God. Come to Him. Be one with God. Trust God. But you can't trust Him till you try Him. And watch God cause you to triumph in every area of your life. To God be the glory. The doors of the church are open, whoever you are, my brother, my sister. Know today.
This is KAYT, Gina.